Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. It's the third Wednesday of the month, and so I'm with Bloomington Mayor Carrie Thompson. Hello, welcome. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for coming back.
Really like being here. So let's just get to a question someone emailed in really quick. And I drove by too and saw there was a lot of water coming from a tank that seemed like, I believe it's the CBU, but I'm not sure, off the bypass in 17th. I know it's kind of a random question. I don't know if you know much about it, but they were wondering what's going on there.
Yes, I only have vague details about that, but what is going on there is regular maintenance, as we're obligated to do per the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. And so one of the compartments of that tank needed to be emptied. So the tank's not leaking. It was a planned routine maintenance that we do, and it'll be back up in a couple weeks.
Okay, that was an email from Trent. Hope that helps, Trent. Let's move on to CIB. Picked the expansion of the center to go the convention center to go east, where the former Napa, I guess, building is right now. The north part was eliminated due to the city wanting reimbursement for that parcel of land. So the next step is the hotel, and they're looking to see what different proposals hotels have for that area. Let's say a hotel would like to go in that north parcel and reimburse the city the $7 million. Is that something the city would be interested in?
Absolutely. You know, our goal for that whole area is to have a vibrantly developed economic district that is really going to attract not only great conventions and meetings there, but also our locals and other visitors to come to that area and experience new hotel, but also likely new restaurants and retail that'll pop up to surround and really take advantage of the activity in the area.
So if those proposals come through and that doesn't get chosen as a lot for a hotel, what does the city plan to do with that?
We don't have a plan yet, but this is an active redevelopment district, and it's in our TIF, and so we'd like to activate that area for the best development of downtown.
I attended the groundbreaking ceremony at Simtra, formerly known as Baxter, some may know. Expanding production lines, huge investment, more jobs, you know, great for Bloomington. Governor Holcomb was there. But, you know, down the street, I was thinking, you know, at Catalent, we've been reporting hundreds of layoffs. You know, the business climate is really tricky. So, you know, how does a city navigate economic activity when you see a biochemical or a biopharmaceutical company expanding and another one getting smaller?
Yeah, we're really grateful for the expansion of Simtra, and my focus is on really cluster development, and which is best practice in economic development. And so that's what is really important about what's going on at the Trades District, what is incubating at the mill. You know, Indiana is one of the worst states when it comes to innovation. We have for far too long been reliant just on factory jobs. And manufacturing is great, and we need those jobs. And we are smart people here. And we need to innovate and help solve not only our community's problems, but innovate for what the world needs. And so it's really important that we find our niche in innovation and that we really develop it well. It's likely going to be related to microelectronics or biopharm. Those are the things that we're already doing. But you can also imagine other fields where people are already innovating. We have great business development going on around the music industry already. So there are some things that are classically Bloomington, where innovation is happening. And when innovation happens, we give birth to businesses that offer tiers of jobs. So we get the C-suite, the middle management, and the production workers. And that's what a community really needs to thrive.
And that's what I remember talking about the build out of the Trades District, of all those different levels that are needed. You have the small businesses in the mill looking to take a step up, and it seems like there aren't many places for that middle step.
That's right, and that's true not only in our jobs, but in our housing, right? And so that's why in economic development, you can't do just one thing. You have to create the whole ecosystem, and housing has to come right along with it. And so that's why we're looking at how we develop workforce housing and how we keep it. How do we keep that middle income housing that is going to sustain our community and keep those workers here and attract them to come from elsewhere?
So what's the next step for the Trades District? I know there's been talk about a boutique hotel going there. Some say, well, that's not a business or that's not middle management. What's the, and that land has been vacant for a long time.
Yes, we're thrilled about this hotel that's coming in. The hotel company that is committed to building there has award-winning hotels that are unique. So this is not gonna be an out-of-the-box hotel. It's gonna have a personality, and with that, this company has a history of attracting really pretty high-end dining and bars. And so what we need in this whole district here, not only Trades, but all the way down to Hopewell along the B-line, is a diversity of live, work, play. With the development of this boutique hotel, this district here, the Trades District, is going to be the place to hang out at lunchtime and after work for our locals and for visitors.
So then I guess what you're saying is that you're hoping that will attract businesses.
Well, it absolutely should attract businesses. And to be honest, you know, we need those businesses coming in, not only to the convention center to have their larger meetings, and a hotel like that can help anchor that, but also the smaller startups and investors want a unique place to stay that's really close to the mill. And we already have so much activity going on there that having another attractive place to stay is really critical.
So still a lot going on with the county, figuring out where to put a new jail, how big it should be. How much do you think the city should be involved with those discussions? And is the city involved with those discussions at all?
Yes. So we are, you know, I've expressed to the county that we really want to support their efforts. And I think that while it is a county initiative, certainly it impacts the city. You know, our law enforcement feeds right into that justice system, and so we are in active conversation, and we want to do what's best for the city and for the community as a whole. And this is where the city-county relationship is really critical. And you know, my administration has made great headway in creating partnerships with the county, those that were already functioning well are still functioning well, and at the executive level, it's functioning better than before.
Where do you think the jail should go? Should it go downtown? Should it go out in the county?
I think the county is having some appropriate conversations about where the jail should go. And really, at the end of the day, that's a much more complex discussion because it ties directly into where the court system goes. That is a systems question that's really the county's to decide. There are ways to have a jail that is not attached to the courts, and certainly the courts could move to a spot that's outside of the city.
City Council is changing the way it conducts public comments at its meetings. There's a new time limit on comments and adjustments to rules for public comment. I know you were pretty upset, as many of some of the comments that were made that were inappropriate during the cease war resolution. So will these changes help? Are you on board with these changes?
I'm really grateful that the council has discussed these things. I think they may make some minor impacts. The fact of the matter is, though, 3 minutes at the mic is not a participatory government model. that is really, you know, frequently these decisions are by and large made before the council meetings start. And so I continue to push for a whole government system that works collaboratively and finds ways to do outreach to people where we can have two-way interaction and conversation, because that's the way we actually solve problems, not in a one-way conversation. So even if we actually are deciding things at council meetings, it's very hard when we can't ask clarifying questions of the commenters, and vice versa. They can't ask clarifying questions of council. So sure, I think some improvements will be made, and I think in this day and age, we need to find other ways as well of interacting with the public. I've had two sets of traveling office hours now. I've been frankly floored at the conversations that happen there when somebody can sit one-on-one in a place that's not City Hall. It's not intimidating to them. Yesterday we were at Jiffy Treat, and there's just a lot of transparency and sharing of ideas in that kind of context.
I was curious about your support for the City Council's gender affirming care resolution. We talked before about resolutions that you wouldn't sign, not directly impacting city business. Do you feel this one impacts? Is this something that you would sign?
Absolutely, and I sent a support letter. I met with the leadership that had asked the council to propose this resolution in the first place. This is about the residents of Bloomington. It's also one of the core principles that caused me to run for office, which is creating a community that is welcoming, accepting, and creates belonging for all people, no matter what. And so gender-affirming care and our ability to really make a statement that we are supportive and we care about the people who are experiencing these difficulties in our state. It's great for our community in many ways, and not the least among them is creating that belonging.
Any update or word on the broadband installation that has been going on? It started, of course, with the previous administration. Mayor Hamilton got it underway. Are residents adding service? I mean, any updates? We just haven't heard about it in a while.
Oh, okay, yes. So that is proceeding, and the infrastructure should be complete over the next year. And then we'll move in the future to opening that network to other providers. So that's when that network's gonna become very competitive. We're hopeful that decreases prices for provision of broadband for our residents. There are some updates. I just want to say to the residents of Bloomington, I know a lot of people have had challenges with the installation in their yards, on their streets, etc. Maybe 2 months ago, we had a clarifying discussion with the contractors, and I put a stop work order on their work because we really were just having too many problems. So things have been going much more smoothly now. We're really on a path where the contractors are very responsive to needs, and we're having almost no incidents with those installations. And so my hope is, as we complete this project, we'll continue to have a great and respectful, safe work environment.
If people do have issues, holes in their front yard, who should they contact?
Yeah, so call the city, and okay. We're happy to help navigate that. Of course, Meridian is putting this in, and they have an office here, and you can absolutely contact them, and we're happy to support you.
Gotta go, but wanna get one last word. It's hot week, heat advisories in
yes.
effect. The city, county have cooling stations and other options to stay cool, right?
That's right. So several fire departments are set up as cooling stations on these very hot days. But my favorite city project this summer is a partnership between economic and sustainable development and our parks. And so we're sponsoring free pool days on level 2 heat days. We announced those by 10:30. The Parks and Rec and ESD Facebook sites and our website will clarify whether or not it's a level two day. And it's completely free admission to both Mills and Bryant Park Pool. And we're really encouraging people to go there and stay cool. It's especially for those who are lower income and health challenged. Staying cool is really critical in this heat.
Always like to leave the last word for you. Any things that you'd like to say, announcements?
Yeah, things in the city are really going very smoothly at this point. The thing I will ask our residents is go downtown and eat and shop, because we're really missing the students this summer, and those businesses really need your support. So consider when you're making plans for your weekend or your weeknights, please do go downtown. There's plenty of parking and we'd love to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. We'll see you in July,
I hope. Thanks, Joe.